It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's time for Ask Andy and Bob, brought to you by the 409tailgateclub.com for your best barbecue and wine around. And guess what? Those of you who are near State College, you could go to the Emporium at the Nittany Mall this Saturday the 11th. There's going to be a free tasting of some of the barbecue and the tailgate wine. Not only that, there's also some items from the Village Eating House and some chocolate sweets from Terra Berries. That's the Emporium at the Nittany Mall, Saturday from noon to 5. All right, with that out of the way, you ready to answer some questions?
I think we were born ready.
Let's do it.
All right, Ross isn't here, so you two guys could take over. First question is from our old friend. It's been a while since we had a question from Sod and Cutter. Greetings, gentlemen. You know what? Before I even get into Sod's question, isn't it amazing that we have fans from around the world? Remember, we've gotten questions from Australia, from Israel, from Cutter. Think of that, Bob. You're talking here in Harrisburg, and you're heard around the world.
I hope that we get to meet some of these guys at some point. I know that's probably a big ask, but you just wonder if they ever get back to... Are they ever taken a Penn State game or a Penn State tailgate?
I'll tell you what, all our international listeners, you ever come in for a game, let us know. You can come join us for a tailgate. All right. Saad from Qatar says, greetings, gentlemen. I'd first like to thank you for your great work to keep us tuned in to Penn State football internationally. I'm a big fan of the program. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Here's the question. As evident from the NFL Combine and other announced speed numbers, it's clear that we have a much faster players than in the pre-Franklin era due to great recruitment and Galt's training. But with the exception of Barkley, Saad says he has not seen that elite speed translate into games on the field, even against some of the weaker opponents. Do you agree? Why do you think it's the case, and how could it be fixed?
I mean, he's got a point.
He's got a point.
Troy Apke, who floored Deion two combines ago, very good final year at Penn State, but wasn't a splash player. You never saw him like get his hands on the ball and return it for a touchdown. But I mean, obviously the Redskins thought highly enough of him to take him in the draft. But I think a lot of it has to do with the position they play. The other guy I would say that you never really saw the speed from was Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, I agree.
He was more of a – took him a little while to get going. You didn't see it with the Dolphins either. But they are athletic. They run very well in shorts. But other than Barkley, Andy, there hasn't really been a guy that has played fast at Penn State and then played fast in the league early in their career. I can't think of one.
I can't think of one either. I mean, Gesicki's was – I thought he played kind of football fast based on athleticism, not based on speed.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought Apke was smarter than he was faster. But then he went out in the combine and ran it fast. So I don't see the combination a lot at Penn State where the pure speed is – the winning out factor, and I'm not seeing it at the NFL for sure, other than Saquon.
Do you see any reason why this isn't translating to the field?
Well, a lot of it's the positions. I think you're going to see it in the next couple of years because I think you're going to see it with Etor Gross-Matos because he's not necessarily going to be a 40 fast guy, but for 10 yards, and you're going to see him, you know, you look at the way that the good pass rushers play, or even Nick Bosa plays, is they win the game in a 6 or 7 yard burst. I also think that Micah Parsons, as he continues to develop as a linebacker and maybe has a future possibly in the NFL, you know, the linebacker position is where either sideline to sideline or disruptively into the backfield is where you can see, you know, short area quickness and burst. But it's a fairly good question, but I think a lot of it has, if you look at where Penn State's been successful, where their best players have been in the NFL in recent years, it's been Jarrett Odrick and Sean Lee and Navarro Bowman, and those guys aren't necessarily the fastest guys that Penn State had.
All right, let's move on. Next question. Rob from Wall, New Jersey. I know it's beating a dead horse, but it seems players are entering the portal at will. Where do you see the NCAA and the transfer portal in 5 years? I have a feeling we're only getting the tip of the iceberg and feel it may ruin college football.
Is that R-O-O-N or R-U-I-N?
R-U-I-N. Rune.
I don't know. That's the transfer portal to me is it's really we're just getting our first real taste of it this year. And I think it's probably surprised the NCAA as well as far as the amount of, but I think more than anything, it shows kind of the mindset of kids. I think it's just different now than it was 10 years ago.
Yep.
I think it's pretty clear now that if you recruit a kid and he's a good kid and he's not going to start early in his career, he's going to look to leave. And I don't know if that's on the NCAA to kind of make a correction, or is it going to change the way that maybe schools recruit a little bit? I just don't know. I think it's a fluid situation, and I think you're going to see the programs and the NCAA react a little bit differently.
Here's my quick take on it. Bob, you and I are both baseball fans and old enough to remember when free agency started.
Right.
Remember, that was going to be the ruin of baseball.
Ruin. I know.
And all it did was make baseball more interesting because you pay attention year-round. Same thing here. It's the offseason. We're still talking about
Correct.
Tommy Stevens.
I like that.
So there's the glass half full for you. All right, next question. I'm going to make this a combo question. Combo question, two questions in one. Steve from Arlington, Virginia, and Dave from Chicago. Ooh. Steve says, how many games does Steve Stevens leaving cost Penn State? I say they go from a 9 or 10 win team to a 7 or 8 win team.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, Dave from Chicago says, have you been secretly a little excited that Stevens is moving on? Essentially, he likes the idea that Sean Clifford is starting. So we've got, that's why we asked those questions together. Andrew?
I think Penn State fans, you're going to be very happy with your quarterback in 2019 in his first year as the starter. I think, so the way I look at it is I like Tommy Stevens and he's a good runner and mm-hmm. he can throw the ball pretty good. Okay, so Sean Clifford's not quite the kind of runner he is, but he's certainly a much better thrower of the football. And what is the key component of the quarterback position? How well you throw the football. You read the game.
Yeah, I don't think Penn State's – it's Stevens' absence will cost Penn State any games.
I agree.
I think that if Sean Clifford develops, and I think that if he stays healthy, I think he has a chance. I'm not saying that he will do it. He has a chance to steal a game for Penn State. I don't know. I'm looking at a team like maybe – I think they believe they play at Michigan State this year. I mean, you look at some of the games they've played, and they've had a chance to win the game in the fourth quarter, and either they haven't made a play or they've been shut out. 2 years ago, they didn't score a point in the fourth quarter in the Michigan State loss. That was the weather game. And I think this year, I think they might have been held to a field goal. They were up 17-14. I think Sean Clifford, with his arm talent, has a chance to maybe win a game that most people would expect Penn State would lose. I don't think it's definite, but more importantly, I don't think that losing Stevens is going to hurt Penn State's offense. I think that the addition of Sean has a chance to maybe help Penn State win one more game than you might think.
That's very well said.
So it sounds like you're both more with Dave than you are with Steve.
Yes, correct. That's correct.
All right. Very good. Let's see. Next question. Let's go with Andrew from Elmer. Guys, Jim Harbaugh supposedly gave Josh Gattis the keys to the Michigan offense.
Yeah.
How much of an upgrade do you think Gattis will be? And should Brent Pry be worried when his former colleague comes to Beaver Stadium this year?
I think that Josh Gattis talks a good game on Twitter, and he's always been a positive coach. And I remember talking to him when he was at Penn State. He thought every one of his wideouts had a chance to be an all-Big Ten player. But I think that my question about Josh Gattis is he going to be given absolute freedom from Jim Harbaugh in a big game, or is Jim going to just take the reins over and say
3 yards in a cloud of dust?
I just don't know. I think that remains to be seen. I think that Josh needs to have some success early in Michigan's schedule against some good teams for Jim to kind of give him his trust. But it's a very – I mean, this is a – it's great that Josh has this job, but I just think that where Michigan is, if they go 8-4 or 9-3 again in the regular season, I don't know if you how you could consider that progress. And they do have some pretty dynamic weapons on the offense other than the quarterback position.
I know exactly what Michigan's painfully hard to watch modern-day football offense looks like. So Josh Gattis, if after 6 or 7 games it doesn't look like that
– yeah.
Then Jim Harbaugh has given you the keys. Until then, talk is cheap because it'll be very easy to see on the field who's actually pulling the strings on this offense.
All right, you're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and light.
All right.
Coffee.
Caught you off guard. All right. We could get – let's see if we get a couple more questions in. Gene from Lebanon. While I'm not a fan of players continually switching positions, I'm very curious whether it's better for the team and player to move Parsons to defensive end and allow the young linebackers to fight for that spot. I feel a combo of Parsons and Matos would be deadly. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Yeah, I think they're committed to playing him at linebacker. I think the way that they're going to eventually use him, he will almost be like a stand-up defensive end in pass rushing situations. But I think they like to use his speed and athleticism, Andy, at the second level. When you play defensive end, there's really only so much you can do in the run game. I think his athleticism at linebacker, when he's comfortable, allows him to be maybe show up at different areas of the field. Whereas if you're a defensive end, you can only really impact, I think, one side of the field.
I thought as the season went on last year, his biggest impact was further away from the line of scrimmage in terms of how to play linebacker, like in his backpedaling and how he patrolled his area and took care of his business there. But pressure up the middle from a linebacker is a very important component to a defense, and that guy. The next level for Micah is to start being impactful when they call on him to bring pressure up the middle.
And the point I think the listener is making is having both Matos and Micah coming at the quarterback is what we're looking for, and I think we're going to see it just Micah from the linebacker position. Gentlemen,
a winner. I like the combo question because the way that you phrased it, I don't know who I would pick the winner. I'm not asking you to pick them both, but I thought that was the most interesting question.
Should we go with dual winners this week, Andrew?
Or
it's your call.
The guy we both agreed with. Because he had the better, he acts.
Yeah, I'm with Andy. Okay. Chicago always wins for me.
So Chicago is the winner. Stick around. We're going to talk safeties.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.